I'll call a meeting order of the Senate Education Committee for the first session of the 27th Alaska Legislature. Good morning to everyone. The date is March 21, 2011, and the time is approximately 8:05 a.m. In attendance today are Co-Chair Meyer, Vice Chair Davis, Senator Stevens, Senator French, and myself, Co-Chair Thomas. We do have a quorum to conduct business. The purpose of the meeting today is to continue our hearings on SB 84, an act relating to funding for high school vocational education as a component of funding for public schools, increasing the base student allocation used in the public school funding formula and providing for an effective date. We had a lengthy public hearing last Monday, and we will continue to hear testimony today. We are scheduled to go for just an hour, I believe, with the people's others, other meetings and stuff that are intended here. So with that, we do have some folks online. Senator Meyer, you had a question or comment?
Mr. Chairman, I think we were going to continue until we got through all the public testimony today. So if that meant going past 9 o'clock, I think we were going to go to continue on it. If not, then return at 9 as usual.
Very good. Yeah, that is our intent. I looked optimistically at the only two people off-site to testify and thought, we can probably make it by 9. With that in mind, let's start offline, unless there are any other comments or questions that anybody has before we get started. Looks like more sheets. We'll start today in Eagle River with Dave Reese with the Alaska Workforce Investment Board. Dave, are you with us?
Good morning, Senator. Yes, I am.
Please put yourself on the record and start your testimony.
Yes, I'm Dave Reese. I do live in Eagle River. However, I work with a variety of groups in Anchorage. I had made some communication with you a month or so ago with the chairs of the committee about from the Business Education Compact, which I facilitate. Also would state that I'm a board member, a private sector board member for the Alaska Workforce Investment Board, and as well a board member for the Alaska Process Industry Careers Consortium. I just wanted to add a few comments to the effect of the proposed SB 84 relative to what it will do in helping our students prepare for successful and economic careers. As someone who has been on the industry side and working with groups on the industry focus, we need to have our students really prepared as they come through the schools to make that step from high schools to the workplace or to further education in the post-secondary side. This is all areas, and I think that the career and technical education aspect of this bill, which is aimed at vocational technical education, is very relative to all sorts of careers, from the health, which of course is a burgeoning area for jobs, for construction, for engineering, and virtually any of those kinds of programs. So if we can get the career and technical education funding set aside to a certain extent from the competing reasons for educating our students, it will help bring us back to the point where we really have some of the things in place that will help our students learn the skills, get interested in the programs, and be able to make that continuity through the schools. As we said before, Department of Labor, Department of Education, and the university has done, with the help of a variety of industry organizations, has been able to put together a career and technical education plan which will help attain the goals of the state in educating Alaskans. This CTE plan, however, needs to have some funding support, and this bill, SB 84, is a great piece of doing that. What we'd hoped a year ago when we talked to you, and there were memos from the several chambers of commerce, business organizations, and so on, supporting this as an approach, was to have some designated state funding for CTE. You've accomplished that to a great extent with the SB 84. Just wanted to pass along support, and particularly from an employer perspective. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reese. We appreciate your testimony. Next, we'll go to, let's see, the Kenai ILIO, LaDon Drews, if I pronounced that correctly, from Soldotna,
yes.
With the Ketchikan, or with Kenai Public Education
Association. I am the president of the Kenai Teachers Association, KPEA, and I'd like to thank the committee this morning for all your work on behalf of public education and our students in Alaska. Now, I'm speaking today in favor of SB 84. The increase to the base for our district, a $100 increase, means $1.7 million to the Kenai School District. Over 64% of our local district's budget does come from state revenue. With our current level of funding in the base student allocation from the state and our current local effort being the same for next year, our district is facing a $3.5 million deficit that they are planning on using and taking from their fund balance, which I believe everyone would agree is not a good practice, particularly in going forward. So increasing the base by the amount suggested in the bill, while a good start, still would not actually get us up to the level of funding needed. The increase of vocational education, as the speaker before me just stated, is also a very positive step. To move this outside of the formula means that vocational programs will get the attention that they deserve. In our own district, we have been combining programs, such as the two high schools in Soldotna, Skyview and Sohi, this year share two of their four vocational teachers, meaning that not all students have access to these classes, as they may want to take them for certifications in high school or perhaps towards some sort of a future career in a technical field. So as we have to cut back, more students are not able to take the courses that they would like to take. And so increasing vocational education would help remedy that in our district. I know that you're aware, of course, that the Kenai stands to benefit this year from the fourth year of the area cost differential implementation of $1.4 million. But please let me take this opportunity to remind those listening and the members of the committee that this is not adding new programs in our district. We are still trying to recoup programs that we've had to cut over the years and remaining at a status quo level, that we are not using those monies to hire any new teachers or to implement any new programs. I would encourage the committee to move this out of committee as soon as possible, as the session is starting to wind down. And thank you again so much for your efforts and your time.
Thank you very much, Ms. Drews. Also in Kenai, we have Sammy Crawford.
Good morning, and thank you so much for your work on education, on behalf of education. I'm also speaking on behalf of SB 84. I'm on the school board for the Kenai Peninsula Borough, and I want to reiterate that we're not adding any new programs with any new funding. We are maintaining. Our costs will be up next year by $5 million, and a lot of that is utility costs. And I just want to point out that we had an incentive program for 3 years in the district, and we asked students, teachers, staff to be really careful with utility costs. And it was an incredible program. It worked. We cut back utility costs in every single building, and as an incentive, we gave back part of the savings to every school. Students were engaged in this project because they found that the school would share with the students the program money, so they were able to buy computers for the school, and the kids had some say in it. So my father used to say to us, shut the door, turn the light out. He would have been so proud because that's what was happening in our school. The point is that this year we saved a lot of money, but this year all of the utility costs have gone up back to where we were before we started this incentive program 3 years ago because of rates to the increase from our electricity utility. So we are behind again. We've added interventionists. These are working. We're getting the kids before third grade, and once if they can stay get on top of things before third grade, they generally make it through school just fine. The other part of this, vocational ed, is so important to so many of our children. Just as another bit of information, we have no full-time librarians in any of our 44 schools. We need the stable funding plan, and we really appreciate any work on behalf of education and this funding of SB 44. So thank you so much.
84. Thank you, Ms. Crawford, for your testimony. I neglected to mention that, and she's left now. Senator Giesel was with us anyhow. Let's see. Next up, let's go to Fairbanks. Sue Hull.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm Sue Hull. I'm on the school board here in Fairbanks, and I just wanted to come and again reiterate our support for SB 84 because I read where someone had indicated that they had heard more testimony related to the career tech component of the bill, and I just want to be clear that our board and folks here in our district, and I believe there are others that are on their way, but because of last week's hearing, we thought that maybe the testimony would take longer, but I wanted to make clear to folks that the BSA increase is very important to us. The career tech component, as I mentioned before, is important, but having the stability of an inflationary increase is really important. We've already made $2.5 million worth of cuts in our budget, and we have cut things back in order for us to keep up with the inflationary pressure that Sammy was mentioning from Kenai. Energy cost is one, but you know the other hard fixed costs in our district. And what happens is we end up having to, in a sense, cannibalize the things we've done to try and improve outcomes for students in order to be able to have our budgets work. So that all three components of this bill are important. The ability to plan, you know, the commitment for 3 years is important, the inflationary increase is important, and the career tech component. For our district moving forward, if we're going to be able to have kids be successful in those early years, they do need the intervention that Sammy mentioned. If we're going to have kids prepared for the workforce, we need to have dollars available for career tech expenses, getting what we used to call vocational programs back into our regular high schools is going to take additional dollars because it's a significant change. But we know it's what kids need in order for education to be relevant to their future and to have them make that connection instead of dropping out and moving on to other things that interest them more. So I really appreciate the efforts of all those who have put forward this legislation. And we hope that it will be given serious consideration before the close of this session. Thank you very much.
Well, very good. Thank you, Sue. We'll go now to Sitka LIO. We have Randy Lanty. I won't try and pronounce your last name. I'll let you go ahead and put yourself on the record.
Yes, it's Lantine.
Okay.
So for the record, my name is Randy Lantine, and I'll just go ahead here. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in favor of SB 84. As a father of two Petersburg students, a member of the school board, and the fleet manager for Icicle Seafoods, a major fish processor located in Petersburg, I am very concerned about education funding and the programs provided to all students in Petersburg. Petersburg has a very strong school system with a stable staff and competent administrators and involved parents. SB 84 provides stable, predictable funding for the next 3 years and a much-needed infusion of funds for vocational education. In the Petersburg School District, we have been financially frugal and educationally innovative. The district is a leader in the state's one-to-one laptop initiative, and we have effectively integrated technology into our programs at all levels, elementary through high school. Even with wise spending, cooperative and beneficial labor relations, and generous community support, the district faces a $177,000 shortfall if flat funded for the 2011-2012 school year. The district, in spite of funding concerns, is reorganizing staff to begin a culinary arts program as another component of the current vocational education offerings of woods, metal construction, and small engines. The vocational funding provided by SB 84 ensures continuation and expansion of vocational education offerings. Rising fuel, electricity, and health insurance costs jeopardize our ability to continue the fine programs in place at Petersburg. We have made steady reductions in costs through cooperative labor negotiations, not replacing retiring staff, increasing health insurance deductible rates, increasing class size, and reducing the number of administrators. The district is now at a critical juncture. Thank you for your continued efforts to fund education. This will ensure that Alaska's greatest resource, our youth, will be well prepared to take advantage of employment opportunities throughout Alaska. Thank you.
Thank you, Randy, for your testimony, and I'm sorry I did not read all of this. I see that you are from Petersburg, but you happen to be in Sitka at the LIO today, I guess is the case.
That's correct. I'm here for Sitka Herring, part of my job, but I felt this was important to speak up on this SB 84.
Well, good. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Next up, we'll go to the Mat-Su LIO, Jill Showman with the Mat-Su Education Association.
Yes, my name is Jill Showman. I'm here in Wasilla, and I represent the 1,200 and some teachers here in the Mat-Su that work in our public schools. I'd like to say, first of all, I commend you for writing this language. It's long needed and necessary. First of all, separating vocational education from the other pot of money with special services and bilingual so that it's not eaten up. We know that here in the state, it's vital that our students have those various opportunities, whether it be in auto shop, welding, culinary arts, etc. Those are our students that will be out in the workforce in just a few years, and they need to have some of those skills. I'd also like to commend you for the forward funding, because it does provide stability for the current community. In terms of teaching staff, right now here in the Mat-Su, we're looking at perhaps losing anywhere from 30 to 40 teachers next year. That includes our specialists, PE, music, library, as well as general ed teachers. And so having that forward funding will allow us to better prepare for the upcoming year. And that's what's good for kids. Having a consistent teaching staff, of course, will make the programs in the schools more solid, as well as it'll provide a better education for our kids. I think the increase in the base is good, although, as Sammy Crawford on the Kenai said, it doesn't quite keep up with inflation. And I believe it's just about 7% short, or just a little bit under what we need to keep up with the rising cost of utilities, et cetera. I would ask you to consider inching the base student allocation amount for each year up just a little bit to help out with that, so that we're not losing current programs. As I mentioned here in the Mat-Su, one of the suggestions from the administration has been to cut current programs, not eliminating programs, but certainly services will be cut to students. And so what we're looking at throughout the district is a loss of a specialist at each school. My concern is that if our PE teachers leave, that will impact the students negatively, because they won't have that opportunity necessarily to move, to burn calories, to learn about health, etc. Our obesity rate here throughout the nation and here in the state is horrendous. And although we've seen some declines over the past few years, about 6 points with a a recent study that came out from the state, we could do better. Also looking at cuts are our nurses, which work, of course, hand-in-hand with the PE teachers, making sure that students are healthy and getting their medicines, et cetera. But looking at their height and their weight, they're also a very important link between the parents and the school itself. And, of course, music and library, if those programs are cut or those specialists are cut, then, once again, a concern that, that we're not maintaining our current programs. We're not asking for the funding so that we can start new programs. It's just about maintaining what we've got, because what we've got is great. But we want to give that same opportunity to those students that are in our schools now and that will be in our schools the next 5 years. So I would urge you to move this out of committee. Consider inching up the base student allocation, and I thank you very much for writing up this language. The forward funding is so very important, and separating out vocational education. Thank you very much.
And thank you, Ms. Shulman. Next, we'll go to the Kodiak LIO. We have Stuart McDonald with the Kodiak Island Borough, who is the Kodiak Island Borough School Superintendent.
Yes, thank you very much for giving us some time this morning. This is Stuart McDonald, and I am here with Betty McTavish, who is represents families that we deliver services to their children here in the district. I wanted to first off also say and reiterate what you've been hearing this morning, that we wholeheartedly support SB 84, and it's very reminiscent of the essential services provided from House Bill 273 in the past. This multi-year funding it allows a school district like ours to stop thinking just literally year to year and hoping to accomplish something in a year and not be able to look past that year. It allows us to think forward and try and accomplish things that make a lasting impact with students. And just reflecting briefly on House Bill 273, we were able to put so many things in place that were just essential. Dropout rates and graduation rates, we always talk about what do you do to address those and create programs that keep kids in school and keep them engaged. And what we've learned is that in order to do this, you have to provide classes that students need when they need them. And so many of our rural sites only were able to take the classes that we could offer when we could offer them because of the staffing we had. But because of House Bill 273, we were able to hire the staff needed and create distance delivery through our VTC programs and our technology, where our best qualified high school teachers were able to offer coursework that kids needed out in those sites when they needed, and had a real teacher, albeit from a distance, but we were able to create opportunities throughout the year where these students were engaged with each other and the staff. In the past, we only offered up through algebra one as a given classroom instruction in these school sites just out of necessity, and a few students would be able to take their own distance delivery courses on their own if they wanted to go higher. This year, we've been able to offer all the way through pre-calculus, and next year have every intention to be able to even offer calculus to those students out there when they need it, as they need it. Essential for being able to make education relevant for those kids who want to move on, but also increasing activities, elective opportunities, and vocational opportunities, creating student assets for students. And House Bill 273 allowed this to happen. As we move towards SB 84, what we are looking at, or what we were looking at, were inevitable cuts like everyone else, just to keep up with the cost of education, and those kinds of things were in the balance. One of the things that was going to make a big difference is our intervention programs, and in special education, we spend quite a lot of money on it, far more than our 20% block grant block grant allows, we spend on special education. But the problem with special education is it's kids that are certified or qualify for special education are already behind. They have to demonstrate that they're already far enough behind we need specialized instruction. And in order to keep up with the demands that students need, we need to have interventions in place before they're behind and before they qualify. And for all of the students who are just on the bubble and don't qualify for special education services, we were able to employ a math interventionist positions that worked with over 300 students in math and identified those students who have deficits that needed corrective action, and it's working. It's working very well. And SB 84 promises to be able to keep that going and allow us to move forward and possibly even continue to enhance programs like that, whether it's reading, writing, math, or any of the other areas that we're working in. I could go on much longer about the vocational programs and how essential they've been and how this House bill, I mean, SB 84 is making a would make a huge difference in that area. But what I would really like to do is let you hear from one of our family members who see firsthand what these programs are doing for their kids. And I'm going to yield the rest of my time here to Mrs. McTavish.
Thank you, Mr. McDonald, for your testimony. And Betty McTavish, please put yourself, your name and yourself on the record.
Thank you. My name is Betty McTavish, and I am a grandparent of a student and a family member within the district. I would like to address this morning the issue of funding for the math program, the Math Recovery Strength in Numbers program that my granddaughter participated in at North Star Elementary School. I was able to watch that program and to see my granddaughter's success. She currently, in the last evaluation, she was well above grade level, and she was definitely past grade level in numbers sense. My granddaughter has been able to see the concept of numbers, multiplication, she subtracts. She has a great sense of set value, all of those pre-math skills. But our concern here is that the math program will not continue. My granddaughter has seen such success in the first grade, and what we would really like to see is the education of teachers so that this philosophy can continue. She's currently in first grade, and we'd like to see that continue throughout. So that is what I'm asking today, is that this program continue. She's had success, and it has been fun for her. She's been teaching her four-year-old sister math skills, and she's chosen to take those activities on the plane with her. Uses them daily. So I would just like all of the students in Kodiak Island Borough School District to see that much success in math. I think it's very good for our future, and it's very important. She was fortunate enough to participate, and it's our hopes that the funding will continue for such programs as the Math Recovery Program, because we know how important math skills are for the success of our students. Thank you.
And thank you very much, Ms. McTavish. We'll go to Anchorage. We have first up question mark whether testifying or not, Rick Rios with the Anchorage School District.
This is Rick Rios from the Anchorage School District, and I did not intend to testify, as I sent to the committee my testimony already, but if given permission, would take a few minutes.
Go right ahead.
Thank you, Senator Thomas. I have visited you and Myers and several others and really appreciate the positive nature of this bill. I do have several initiatives in the bill that I would like you to consider. First off, I am Rick Rios, the Coordinator for Career and Technical Education. I've also been the chair of the Vocational Technical Education Providers of Alaska and have been on the National Board for International Technology Education Engineering Association. I'd like to say that I have two sons. They are now in their 30s, and one has just turned 40. They both were born here as I came up in the 1960s and opened up the original Diamond High School. My oldest son dropped out of high school for lack of attention and relevance, and spent the next 15 years traveling around the United States picking up trade skills. He is a successful pile buck now, building infrastructure, bridges, and dams in the Oregon Northwest area, but he got all that training somewhere else. My second son left the Anchorage School District and went to Southern California to private school, graduated, came back, and graduated from the University of Alaska with a degree in business economics, and now is the account executive for Bonneville Power in the Northwest. Both of them had to go somewhere else to get what should have been right here. I've heard comments from many of the testifiers that inflation. Inflation truly in CNTE has been non-existent. I have now been in this position for the last 10 years, and it has been flat-funded both at the local district level and at the federal level. Vocational education has been flat-funded for nearly 20 years. The budget that I now have from the district and from the feds is exactly the same that we had in 1990. So inflation proofing is almost a word that I'm not sure we've heard in some time, so I appreciate the fact that this will consider changing that. We are, again, not supplanting any program. The Anchorage School District and its board and superintendent have been positively moving towards investing in CNTE. They did use some of their stimulus money to get middle school guides, and when that money was used, then they ardently promoted and gained support of the local funding, and now, as a part of the Anchorage School District, have middle school career guides in every school. The Department of Labor and certainly the legislature were great in developing the first real model, the new model for vocation education in academies. 5 years ago, the legislature, and thank you the senators who supported this over the years and continue to support the construction education model funding through the Construction Education Foundation. That built a model of middle through employment that every district has the ability to allow its middle school students to become aware of construction and the clusters that and all the clustered areas that affiliate with that. They also have programs in the high school, but we have engaged now with the Department of Labor and have career guides in our schools, actually employment career guides. Education is not an employment institution, and therefore sometimes lose track of one of their obligations, and that is to make students employable. Bringing the Department of Labor directly into the schools has been a wonderful model to teach employability skills. So the academy model now has been expanded in the Anchorage School District, not only in construction, but now we're moving in health and in engineering with Project Lead the Way, and a major initiative along with a state plan in health to have academy models. So we are forward, but while we can move curriculum and we can move some teachers, we have no more funding. And this particular bill will now allow us to build some of the infrastructure that has been decayed away over the last 30 years. We need additional teachers. We need curriculum and instructional realignment. We need so many things to rebuild the entire structure of career and vocational education. Once again, the Anchorage School District will place before the voters in a couple of weeks a bond for career and technical education and vocational education of $17 million. We are committed to moving forward, but we will still need teachers. You can't hire teachers with bond money. We will need teachers. We will need infrastructure. We'll need curriculum and instructional realignment. And we appreciate this bill and what it will do in the future to institutionalize vocational education back into our systems. And I thank you and urge you to move this on Thank you.
And thank you for your testimony. Just for those listening off-net, it is my intention to move this bill. We have had no testimony that has been opposed to the bill. There have been comments asking and suggesting increased funding, but it is our intention. We have lost one member already. There are five on the committee. If we lose two more, and I know that there will potentially be two more leaving before 9 o'clock, we would not have a quorum to move the bill forward. So with that, I'd suggest that if you still desire to testify, that you make your testimony brief and to the point so that we could potentially move forward. And thank you. And with that, Peggy Cohen.
Hi, this is Peggy Cowan. I am superintendent of schools in North Slope Borough School District, and I will quickly try to skip points in response to that, but obviously I didn't get much prep. I got my points prepared. We support Senate Bill 84 as others. For the record, if our base budget requires an additional $2.5 million in revenue to sustain district's current efforts with no increase in positions or programs, that would be approximately $500 on the BSA. We realize that that is a lot, and therefore support the 110. But just want to let you know that this is not going to, as with other districts, we will not be expanding programs, but we'll still be making difficult decisions. We have been making cuts, and even just as close as last year, we cut 17 positions. And along with approximately 5% of every school's budget, we have, and it's beyond the base budget of $2.5 million, we have identified over $2 million of unmet needs. The vocational ed factor is a welcome addition to the funding formula. And finally, we recognize our need to continue to focus on increasing student achievement. We need to do more and not less. Our reading scores had double-digit gains in four grade levels. Three of our grade levels were the highest since SBA testing, but they still are not good enough. So we need to increase our support for reading, as well as our writing scores were flat, so we'll need increased emphasis there. And our math overall gain was just about 6%, and so we need increase. So our trend line in both language arts and math indicates the district's on a growth path, but we can't do that with cutting academic programs, and we need the engagement and the skills from the vocational. That's it in short. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Cohen. Next, Chad Stietler. Hopefully that's close enough to recognize your name.
Yes, hi, thank you. My name is Chad Stietler. I'm the Chief Financial Officer for Anchorage School District, and wanted to testify in support of the committee substitution for Senate Bill 84. First off, really just want to express all of our appreciation in Anchorage for the effects of the House Bill 273 and the prior 3 years of funding. The increases to the intensive services have really allowed that dedicated funding to match the cost of services that Anchorage has been required to pay over the prior year or over the current years. And certainly the increase in the BSA and pupil transportation has really allowed the district's revenues to more closely match that natural inflationary increases that we've really been facing over that same time period. More specifically, the 3-year funding package really created a dramatically different environment, both at the central office, where we were able to take the knowledge and really strategically plan rather than have an unending budget process over each of those 3 years. Certainly that rolled through into the schools where that strategic planning was able to be implemented. It gave employees the ability to focus on being effective in their jobs rather than letting the fears of layoffs and increased class sizes really reduce any effectiveness in the schools. So would really just request you to look favorably, as you mentioned, and I'm so appreciative that you will be passing the committee substitute for Senate Bill 84 on and out of committee. The BSA increase that's in this bill will continue to provide that same protection from inflation, but it also, and then the three-year funding plan really gives us the opportunity to forecast the school operations for the years ahead. And again, allow employees to focus on their jobs rather than focusing on losing their jobs. We at Anchorage School District have just created, the school board has just passed our first six-year financial plan. And given the known effects of inflation, and at that point, at this point, with no known increases to revenue, frankly, the results are pretty discouraging for education in Anchorage. Assuming a conservative rate of inflation in the plan and conservative increases for salaries, health insurance, energy, and all the other costs of business, but with no increase to state or local funding, what we found is that the district will face over $100 million deficit in the sixth year of the plan for the same level of services that are going to be provided next year. With the passage of this committee substitute for Senate Bill 84 and anticipated local tax increases, along with our value-based budget model that we have in place and the ongoing efforts to increase our efficiency, maximizing our effectiveness, we'll be able to support the successful programs that are now active. And you just heard from Mr. Rios talking about some of the existing plans for CNTE that are in the budget now, but we'll also be able to fund new CNTE programs as well. So with that, I'll just cut my comments and express our appreciation in Anchorage for your support of education. Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Steiger. Next, Anne Marie Palmer from Haynes, who I take it is at the I'm not sure where
Hi,
she is. Go ahead, please. Put yourself on the record and continue with your testimony.
I'm Anne Marie Palmieri, and I am a parent as well as a school board member up here in Haynes. And I know that your time is short, and I just wanted to let you know that our school board has passed a resolution at our last meeting supporting the passage of Senate Bill 84. And we really appreciate your time and on this and the opportunity for me to talk with you this morning.
Well, very good. Thank you. Thank you for your testimony. Next, Rich Carlson, superintendent at Kluwak School, the Kluwak School District.
Yes, thank you, Senator. I've sent this in writing, and just a couple of real key issues.
If you please put yourself on the record, your name and who you represent, please, just for the record.
All right. I'm sorry. Rich Carlson, superintendent, Kluwak City School District.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Senator, I sent my testimony in writing, so I won't take more than just a couple seconds. I do appreciate the increase in student base allocation, the forward funding, and the vocational aspect. Those are three very, very key issues for us in Kluwak, and I know throughout the state. And with that, I guess I'll just surrender my time so that you can go ahead and take a vote.
Okay, well, thank you for that consideration. Next, we'll go back to Fairbanks. We have Tammy Seekins. If you'd please put yourself on the record, and state your affiliation.
Tammy had to leave, so our next testifier is Steve LaRue.
Okay, please, yes, Steve LaRue then.
Steve LaRue, Fairbanks. I'm the president of the Fairbanks Education Association in Fairbanks, and Senator, good morning, and I'm just simply going to let you know that we fully support the committee substitute for Senate Bill 84, appreciate the inflationary this slight increases in the BSA, but most important for me, for the stability, is the three-year forward funding. That idea, I believe, the state has seen has worked over the past 3 years, and we would very much appreciate seeing that continue to provide the stability necessary for education of our students in the state. Thank you, Senator, and let's move the bill forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Steve. Is there anybody else online that you're aware of? No? Okay, we got through that. And is there anybody in the room that cares to testify? Seeing none, I want to thank everybody who called in, then, in that case, to testify. And if there is no one else to testify, I will close public testimony. And is there comments or questions? Anyone on the committee? Since we still have Senator French,
I'll just say it's an impressive array of folks reaching out to us this morning on a Monday morning, and it's great to hear from people across the state supporting education. Thank you.
And thank you. Any other comments? Seeing none, Senator Davis, please go ahead.
It's not really a comment. I just want to thank all those people that called in to testify. And I know there's a wide support for this bill. And there's no better place for it to start than in the Education Committee. I do have some concern because we do not bring the base student allowance up to inflation rate. And I wish we could do that. Are we going to accept any amendments to this bill today? Or are we going to pass it off the way it is?
I hadn't expected to, but that doesn't mean that individuals can't do as they please.
I haven't prepared an amendment. I wanted to more or less hear what other people have to say. And based upon what other people have testified, they are concerned that we're not bringing the amount up to at least the inflation rate to cover that. And I don't know what that dollar figure is, but I was just looking at the process that you have. You have the highest amount on the third year at 120.
Correct.
And I was wondering if we could turn that around and start off with the highest to down to the lowest rather than the lowest to the highest. Do you understand where I'm coming from?
I understand. The first year, the higher, you know.
Yeah.
However, however, then we would probably receive more
comment. But if that's more than inflation, we could bring it to that adjusted rate. I'd be satisfied with that.
Yeah, I think we would continue to I think we will always continue to receive indications that it's not gotten to the point of achieving the inflation factor offset realistically. So I don't know that we'll ever get to that point of accomplishing that with this bill or this issue or any other issue that arises. Everybody is concerned about particularly fuel costs, those that are particularly building and space-wise concerned. So I don't know if it would do anything other than reduce the third year and reduce the inflation amount on the far end versus what happens now. So I mean, I don't know that it would do anything other than make people happy the first year, but then they'd be complaining, well, what about the second and third year? So to me, I'm not sure if that makes a lot of difference,
Mr. Chairman.
But I understand your concern. The inflation in general. Senator French.
It's probably just worth pointing out, I'm looking at the fiscal note that was prepared mm-hmm. for this bill, that for this year, it means $38 million more into the school districts. Next year, $28 million. Last year, $29 million, I think because of the vocational education
Correct.
Breakout. So we are putting, you might say, an extra $10 million into school funding statewide this year if we adopt this bill. I share Senator Davis's concerns. You know, we hear from the school districts this is basically going to keep them whole, if not just be a little bit less. On the other hand, the governor proposed no increase whatsoever, none. And so I think that whereas this may not be the perfect solution, we have taken a big step in the right direction. And maybe if this bill goes up to the Finance Committee in a week or so, you know, maybe they'll get the spring revenue forecast and decide that they can switch the numbers around as Senator Davis has proposed and sort of front-end load the same amount of dollars over the 3 years, just with a little more front-end loading. But I appreciate the work that you and Senator Meyer put into the bill, and so that's just some observations.
Thank you, Senator French.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the bill is a good start as well. It may not cover or have quite as much as what we'd like to see for the BSA, but when you factor in, as Senator French said, the additional amount that's going to VOTEC, that's going to save up more room or more money now for the BSA and for the classroom, as well as you know, we had heard when we took up the bill dealing with school lunches, breakfast, that a lot of money was coming out of the classroom to fund that program. Now that we've adequately or fully funded that, hopefully, again, that frees up some money to go in the classroom. And then finally, there is a bill I think Senator Hoffman just introduced. Unfortunately, it won't be coming to education. It goes right to finance. But it deals with the fuel costs that says if oil prices are above, I think it was $88 or something, 89. you know, additional money would be going to schools to deal with their utility costs. So if you look at all these factors and blend them, I think that this is definitely a good start to help our schools. And as Senator French said, you know, this is going to go to finance, and they have the crystal ball, and they see the oil prices and oil revenue that's going to be coming in the future years. And if they can increase it, I'm sure they will, and hopefully the same people will testify on that behalf. But I do believe this is a good start, and I think it's important for us to get this bill up to finance so they can at least see what we suggest as a starting point.
I agree.
Mr. Chairman?
Certainly. Senator Davis.
I'd just like to speak once more. Certainly. I support all the comments that's been made. This is a good start, but it's not where we need to be. If we don't do it in Education Committee, it won't get done. You can say whatever you want about sending it up to finance and they will increase it, but I'm not saying that they won't. But if we already have that dollar figure in there, at least they know what we think that it's needed for education. And there's no better place than to start here. I'm not going to stop this bill from moving because it need to move on. I want it to get up to finance. But and all those other programs that they got where money will come in does not do what it needs to do in the student-based allocation. It needs to be there. And if it can't be done in this committee, it probably won't get done. So if you want to pass the bill out the way it is, fine. I'm going to vote for that. I'm not against it. But I still say that we haven't done what we should do as far as at least trying to come up to the inflation rate for this year. We worry about next year when that comes. You know, they said that the money goes down fine. This three-year plan that they had, I never heard the school district complain about you didn't meet quite an inflation rate. They took what we gave, and they lived with that because it was a boost for them. And this is what we got an opportunity to do again for another 3 years. And I rest my case with that.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments or questions? Hearing none, what is the will of the body?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Meyer.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we move Senate Bill 84 from committee with attached fiscal notes and the attached individual recommendations.
Thank you. Is there objection? Hearing none, we will move the bill from committee to the next committee of referral. And let me remind folks that on Wednesday we'll hear a presentation by Paula Pawlowski of the Alaska PTA. We'll be meeting here in this room again at 8 a.m. And if there is nothing else to come before the committee, we will adjourn. Thank you.